fake it, Mr. B, take it, follow me, Bob White. We're gonna break it up tonight.
I'd like to call the design review meeting of this Tuesday, December 8th to order. May I have a roll call, please?
Thank you. Chair Schneider?
Here.
Vice Chair Smith?
Here.
Member Branch?
Here.
Member Carroll?
Here.
Member Heinlein?
Here.
Member Shaler?
Present.
Member Sweeney?
Here.
Member Whalen, alternate, is absent. Thank you.
Thank you. And since this is our last meeting of the year, I'd like to wish a happy holidays to the good land. I'm not hearing that, but... Okay. I can't control that, so somebody else has to. Meeting minutes for November 10th. Do I have a motion?
I have a motion to approve.
Second.
Second. Discussion? All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Any abstentions?
I'll abstain. I was not there.
Okay. B2, schedule of meetings for 2016.
Yes, good afternoon, Chair and members. We're looking at your next calendar year for your meetings. And again, it's your meetings are on Tuesdays, second and fourth Tuesdays of the month. We're trying to follow the council's calendar to have one meeting in July and August. So the first meeting in July and August will be canceled. And then November, the Thanksgiving week, will be canceled on that Tuesday, and also Christmas. So you're looking at one meeting, July, August, November, December. There is one holiday that the city has not in the past canceled, but we're just bringing it to your attention. It's October 11th, falls on a Tuesday, your regular date. It's a Jewish holiday, Yom Kippur. So we left it on the calendar, but just for discussion if the board wants to consider canceling that or rescheduling that.
Okay. Planning director report.
So.
Oh, before we go on to that.
Yeah, will you accept the calendar? To accept
the
calendar?
Oh, do we have to accept it?
Yeah.
Oh, okay. Before we do that then, when is the, I believe there are two members that are going to get, have their positions up for,
We'll have to check with the city clerk.
We'll be notified. City council, yeah.
Notified, and there'll be interviews, and then the board members will sit until if there are new members appointed, switch out. So we'll check with city clerk. I can report to you the next meeting.
Okay. And then planning director report.
Can we get a consensus on the calendar? You don't want to.
Apparently, I don't want to vote on it. Anybody have any comments?
No.
Do we want to do a vote? Does everybody?
I'll move to approve the tentative calendar.
I'll second that.
Any further discussion? All those in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? So carried. Planning director report for the third time.
Yay.
Swing and a miss.
Okay, so we're excited to announce that the draft zoning code is out for public review, and I believe most of the members have picked it up, and we do have some extra copies for those who did not get a copy. We will be bringing some sections of the code that's pertinent to DRB. We're looking at the second meeting in January. That would be January 26th, sort of as a target date. And we'll give you an agenda as to what subject areas we'll be looking at, and likely be coming to you several times on the code for your input and review.
Okay, is that it?
That is it.
Review of agenda. Do we have any items on the agenda that?
We actually do. It was a last minute phone call that item G2, the applicant is withdrawing that application. So that's 5841 Hollister Avenue, the Coke commercial facade improvements. So if you can, we can get a vote to take that off the calendar or the agenda.
I'll make a motion to move that off calendar.
Second.
Discussion. All those in favor?
Aye. Aye.
Opposed? So carried. Public comment. Now's the time for any member of the public to speak on an item that is not on today's agenda. Is there anybody in the audience who would like to speak at this time? Seeing none, we will move on to revised design review, item F1, 351 South Patterson. Madam Secretary, can you read that into the record, please?
Thank you. Item F1 is the Cottage Hospital site amendments. Located 351 South Patterson Avenue. It's case number 15-148 DRB.
Thank you. And can we have declarations?
Site visit, no ex parte.
I have not currently visited the site, but and no ex parte.
Site visit, no ex parte?
Same.
Site visit, no ex parte.
And I'm familiar with the site, no ex parte.
Site visit, no ex parte.
Okay. That throws it to you, Joe.
Good afternoon. Today we have a request for a revised design review for the Cottage Hospital, which is a 152,000 square foot two-story building. The applicant the applicant is proposing a new data center inside of the existing hospital, an expanded utility yard with emergency generators and other equipment. The primary external change would be a 10-foot tall enclosure wall along the perimeter of the utility yard with some landscaping around the perimeter. There'll be a parking lot reconfiguration and then some landscape revisions, which include replacement of some trees and the removal of a healing garden that was approved as part of the original project. Here, if you have any questions, and I'll hand over to the applicant to walk you through the project in more detail.
Thank you, Joe. My name is Maruha Klense. I'm with Suzanne Elledge Planning and Permitting. I'm the agent for Cottage Health, or Goleta Valley Professional Buildings Incorporated. With me is Greg Osachek of HGA. He's our project architect for the data center. Martha DeGasis from Arcadia Studios, landscape architect. We also have Ron Bascaro and Brooks Larson from Cottage Health to answer any operational questions you guys may have. Just to underscore what Joe has presented, this is an interior remodel that requires a utility yard component. So we are utilizing already approved, the development plan has allocated this floor area. We're utilizing it for the Cottage Health Data Center for all of Cottage Health operations. So this isn't just specific to the hospital. It's for all their system. We want to take advantage of having a brand new seismically retrofitted structure to house our data center. As a result of the data center, we require some backup mechanical infrastructure that Greg can speak to that results in our proposed utility yard. It does not increase the building footprint at all. We do require LUP for the 10-foot high wall, which will be screened amply by landscaping proposed by Martha. We also have, as a result of the drought with Goleta Water District, some revisions to the overall landscape plan we wanted you to take a look at as well, primarily in the healing garden and a couple tree species that we're swapping out. And as a result of the utility yard, we have some parking spaces that have been reconfigured. 55 spots were approved on the south parking lot. I can't recall the exchange of what's remaining in the main lot, but as the relocation for the utility yard, we're shifting 5 spaces over to the main campus lot. So none of the quantities that were approved with the original development plan have changed. Everything stays the same, with the exception of utility yard and now new landscaping. So with that, I'll turn it over to Greg to talk briefly about the utility yard components, and then Martha can talk about landscaping.
Just before you get, do we have an overall site plan of the entire site, just for reference purposes?
Back, it's split between two pages. Okay.
Okay. So the as Maruha said, the project is a new data center for the hospital for Cottage Health. It is within the interior of the building in some existing shell space. So there's a data center here, some office space supporting that data center, and then a new electrical room. The intent of the data center is to be independent of the hospital's infrastructure as far as electrical, mechanical services, and so thus that the need for the utility yard. And within the yard, there's two new emergency generators.
So different emergency generators for the hospital as opposed to the data center.
That is correct. Two new emergency generators and the electrical equipment to support that and make it run properly. There's two chillers on site on grade as well. There is new electrical service to the building supporting the project. Fuel oil is existing, probably the only thing that's existing on site. So there's an existing underground fuel tank here, which this project will tap into and support, or use that for supporting the new emergency generators. The you can see the utility yard is surrounding the entire yard, and it's a 10-foot high CMU block wall with a exterior finish matching the hospital finish and color. There's a two man doors for egress outside of the yard. There is a rolling gate for service servicing the equipment. Rolling gate right there, and that material is like a corrugated metal siding matching similar materials on site as well. I'm not sure, that's basically it. Yeah. So landscape-wise, there's some changes that we're proposing as well.
So within the area that is now enclosed by the 10-foot high wall, we had some minimal landscaping in here, and some parking was displaced, and a little bit of bicycle parking in this area. So as Maruha mentioned, the parking that was displaced has been moved to the lot adjacent to the main hospital on the north side by just adding a space here and there, and we'll go over those locations. Landscaping in the area within the footprint here, there's a couple of olive trees that are going to be transplanted to these new locations.
Sorry, can you pan out with the camera?
Yeah, that'll have to.
It's page LP1 in your hand.
I was trying to find it on the little
tab. Yeah.
I'm just a little slower than everybody else.
Let's use that one, I guess. Yeah.
Oh, there
so
you go.
My arms aren't quite that long, but okay. So what we've done, I don't know, Scott, I'm not sure I can really quite do it there.
Why don't you move in?
Yeah. And you pull the camera on just a little bit.
Perfect. Thank you.
Okay, so what we're proposing to do in front of this 10-foot high screen wall, the stucco wall, we've got a continuous planting of Pittosporum silver sheen. So that's kind of a light textured, small leaved type of Pittosporum that has a kind of an airy quality, but it will get up to be about 10 to 12 feet tall quite quickly. So that's going to create kind of just a shim across that wall to mask it, but not be a heavy textured hedge right there. And then we've got two olive trees that are going to be adjacent to the parking area along this new walkway. We've got this walkway here that was relocated to accommodate the handicap parking that is in this area. I'm not showing the striping, and I apologize for that, but So we've got two olive trees more or less in front of the corner of the utility yard, and then one over at the other end there by the man gate and sidewalk access. In addition, there's two Canary Island pines that one will remain in place and one will be relocated outside the utility yard. Right now it's a little bit inside the enclosure, so those will both be still in place. And then we've got a couple little cobble drainage swales that are going to be infiltration basins there. We have a similar one on site right now, so that will tie in with those. But again, just to reiterate, the wall is going to be fully screened, even though it's a tall wall. On the south-facing portion of the wall that faces the parking lot, we have a narrow planting area, but we're planning to put trumpet vine and train that on the wall. So we should have some good greenery on the wall at that point. This access ramp that goes from the sidewalk to the handicap parking spaces, we've got a continuous row of India hawthorn or Yeddo hawthorn between the sidewalk and the ramp there, and that'll partially screen that parking area because those will get about 3.5 feet tall. And then just perennial planting. The planting at the entry to the driveway will remain as is, and of course all those really large jacaranda street trees are going to be protected in place.
So, as Martha mentioned, that the sole purpose of the wall is to hide all the gear that's inside, so that it is a 10-foot high wall blocking all that. And so we have some before and after pictures here. So there's a before. There's a view from Patterson. And then after, you can barely see the wall behind the jacarandas and landscaping. There's the rolling gate matching the existing on the site right now. Another view from Patterson before. You see that this is the existing hospital elevation and some clear story windows. And then the after, pretty much see the wall. And then again, here's another view, more of a kind of the entry area of the hospital, or actually the entry is over here. There's before some existing windows that are being infilled and replaced with a utility-sized door along that elevation, and then the wall behind it is back there. All to really blend in with the existing facade of the hospital. So as Martha mentioned, the parking, some of the parking was displaced as far as the accessible stalls. And let me see if I can.
We have relocated 5 spots, 4 right there where Martha is pointing, and the 5th one is up closer to the MLB parcel.
So this is where the existing hospital is being torn down, right? It's about halfway torn down right now. And so this is a view or a look of the finished parking lot and landscaping as proposed.
Martha, do you want to go into
the healing garden changes?
Yeah, so we have in this area, we had a garden with a little pond feature shown here earlier, and we in the hospital have decided that's probably not going to fly with the drought, so we've just replaced this little pond segment that was not completely yet designed anyway, with a Carex lawn, so that'll have kind of a metal look through this whole area here. In addition to that, since we designed the hospital and after the first phase was implemented, there's become fairly common an olive tree disease that we're being cautious about putting in olives now. So what we've proposed to do is replace the olive trees that we have sort of across the front of the hospital and in the very distinct grove where the existing medical office building is. We're proposing to put Metro Sedaros trees, which is known as New Zealand Christmas tree. And the reason we choose that is it's available in a multi-trunked form. It has a gray felty leaf that has a similar appearance to the olive tree, and then it's got a red bottle brush flower in the wintertime. So that was about the closest we could come to the look of the olive, but there's been quite a bit of dieback in olives in these areas and even in the neighborhood, so we're being cautious about putting so many in.
Do you have any pictures or depictions of what these replacement trees look like?
I don't have any.
Is this a sizable number?
There is a sizable number. I don't have an image of that, and I apologize for
Phil,
that.
Phil, they're the same trees in the parking lot out here.
Yeah.
New Zealand Christmas tree.
They're all around the former Circon building and so on. They're quite common in Goleta. There's a number in the Kai Riel Center, for instance, if you're familiar with that. Or
is that it?
Yes.
Yes, we're here to answer any questions you may have.
Questions from the board?
I'll go ahead and get started. I do have several questions. Thank you. Regarding the removal of the healing garden, is that done due to the implied wasteful use of water or actual water use?
The healing garden's not being removed.
The water feature within the healing
garden. The water feature is being removed in response to the water use.
The water use.
Yes.
Its actual use of water would be a significant amount, and therefore it would not be appropriate.
Correct.
If I may add, I believe the further regulations that Goleta Water District may actually put into effect this next quarter will prohibit ornamental water features such as ponds, unless they have aquatic life.
Thank you for clarifying that. Regarding the emergency fuel tanks, those are pre-existing. How are they going to be filled up? Through the rolling door, and then the vehicle would come in and back into?
Correct, yes. There's either the truck would pull up into that yard space and drag hose and fill the tanks that way, yes.
Are there any potential issues or conflicts with having emergency fuel tanks and generators in proximity to the data centers?
No, it's very common to have fuel tanks and generators in close proximity to these, to a hospital building too, yes. And it's an existing underground fuel
right.
tank, right?
And regarding this placement of this in this area, was this always intended, or was this expected to go somewhere else, and this is now another site that's being used instead?
It is my understanding that this has not always been intended for its use. No.
My next question has to do with the wall that's going to be surrounding this, the 10-foot wall. How long will that wall be along Hollister?
The length of wall?
Yes, please.
I'm sorry,
along Patterson, you're right, along Patterson.
It is approximately 80 feet long.
80 feet long. And you'll be able to maybe reuse some of the currently recently installed landscaping if possible.
Yeah, we'll be relocating a couple of the olives, one pine tree, and the agaves, I think that's about what we'll be using again, the easily transplanted material.
Okay. Thank you very much.
I'm sorry, I'm going to retract the 80 foot long. It's actually more like 130 feet long. I don't know what I was looking at.
Wrong scale.
Yeah. Well, I'm reading it upside down too, so I'm sorry.
That's not the length of the entire wall, new wall. It's the length of the portion along Patterson?
That is just the length along Patterson.
Okay. Thank you for clarifying that. I appreciate that also.
Sure.
Other questions from the board?
I have one question. Was it ever discussed to use green screens on this wall instead of just a typical landscape treatment? Was that discussed as an option? Or?
I don't know that came up. Personally, I don't care for the look of the green screen. It tends to look a little more industrial in my mind than the stucco wall, which has a little bit more of a formal and building look. We've got a green screen a little more on the interior of that parking lot to hide some tanks, but I think given the appearance of the hospital and the plaster finish on the hospital and also across the street, that building is quite similar as well of the finish. I feel like the wall makes a better and more formal
statement. There are some others around the campus.
So a green screen, yeah, there's a green screen hiding some air tanks about 60 feet away.
Okay, sound. Do the new generator, I presume the new generators are going to have some sound when they fire off, and you know the... there's going to be a requirement for it to run every month, 2 months, quarter, or whatever.
Yes.
It is. Just go through that.
Sure. Yes. The generators are required to be tested monthly, and they do generate sound, but we have designed or selected generators with a sound enclosure on them themselves. The wall itself provides protection or sound attenuation to contain that as well. We have hired an acoustical engineer who has studied the or done analysis of the sound generated by not just the generators but also by the chillers and the load bank that supports the generators, and he's come up with some recommendations. Right now, it's borderline per the city of Goleta's requirements as far as the sound levels that are allowed at the adjacent property lines. It is our recommendation to go with what we have designed and test it later. But right now, it meets the current design or
and I'm assuming we could somehow control the monthly startup to happen during daytime hours.
That is correct, yeah. It's an operational.
And then, I don't know if if I saw this or if I'm just dreaming, the adjacent parcel where the...
We actually have a picture.
So that whole kind of olive orchard thing that we had at the front, you're suggesting we're replacing with museum business?
Yeah, all those olive trees. I think there's 30 some odd in there.
And I like the museum business tree, and maybe somebody down here has a comment on it. It just seemed... I understand olives in a grove like this because it kind of feels like a remnant of an orchard.
Exactly.
Museum Christmas trees give the same.
I'm not sure if this is going to really show up under the camera, but why don't you go ahead and stick it under there and see if it does. Yeah.
It's not in bloom.
I agree with you.
From a concept.
Really hard. It was a really hard pill to swallow, no pun, but we couldn't actually face the idea of putting in all those olives and having them die bit by bit by bit. If by some miracle they get control of this bacterial infestation and we're not seeing that degree of dieback, I think we would love to go back to the olive tree. We liked the idea, and it was had a, you know, a little bit of a romance, or you know, a little bit of story behind it. That was great. And yeah, it's kind of a hard decision on our part to do this. But I think what we decided was it'd be better to go by a living grove than one that was blighted. So.
Right. Okay.
I had a question going back to the generators. I was looking at the sheet A040. And I noticed that I doesn't note it, but I'm assuming that these are generators also.
Correct. Those are generators for the hospital, within the hospital building, right. In fact.
Okay, and are those ones actually enclosed within the building, or are they?
They are. Yes, they're enclosed within the building.
Okay. When they're tested monthly. How are they going to be tested in relationship, say, to the two outside ones? Are they all going to just kind of get it all over with the one time and fire them up at all at the same time, or they space it out?
That's a good question.
Yes, Bruce Larson, Director of Facility Planning.
We'll need you to come up and speak into the microphone for the purpose of the TV, if nothing else.
Thank you. Reintroduce myself, Brooks Larson, Director of Facilities Planning for Cottage Health System, Cottage Health. And yes, the plan is to run the generators on alternate weeks so that we don't cascade the noise. Keep it to a minimum.
All right, thank you.
Very good.
Thank you, Brooks.
That was my only question.
Okay. Any other questions? Comments from the board?
Question from both that one. Blue oatgrass. Are you confident that's going to look good in 5 years? In that big grass?
Yeah, it seems to be a pretty good and long-lived species, and that's why we picked it. Do you have thoughts that would be counter to that?
I just don't think it looks good after a few years. It kind of browns out. It looks. I don't know. But if you're confident, that's just lot of it. It's a lot of it.
Yeah, it's very much, yeah. So I'll take that under consideration. But I was thinking for an evergreen grass that doesn't require cutting down to the ground annually, that we thought that was a good choice. Many of the other species, as you know, require annual pruning down to the base. So we were looking for a grass that didn't require that.
It's certainly low water use. It's just a suggestion.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think the only other alternative I can think of right away would be deer grass, and that's quite a bit taller. So I think that would kind of mask that pattern of alternating rows there.
Any other questions, comments?
Just one, Chair. With the bottle brush trees, they're not my favorite. Not for the look. It's for the maintenance. Everything within 50 or 75 meters is going to have that stuff all over the place when they deflower. So just on a maintenance point, it's kind of a small point. That's the one comment that I've got that I deal with every year. Lots of them around town. So
the New Zealand Christmas tree.
Just the bottle brush in general, yeah.
It's two different trees.
Right, that's what I'm saying. But similar problem is what I'm getting at.
Okay. Somebody want to try a motion?
I have just a couple of comments.
Oh, okay.
Question, comments. One thing, I imagine all this new planting is going to be under its own new controller? Or is that actually just tying into existing irrigation controller?
Yeah, the medical office building has its own controller, and that's the parcel as you've seen under construction right now. And then the hospital has a controller that's kind of on the east or west side of the existing hospital.
So both are both groupings of plants are tying into existing controllers, correct?
The orchard, so to speak, is attached to the medical office building.
Okay. Because my comment would be, it'd be great to see those retrofitted to smart controllers if the, unless they're already...
Yeah,
so.
There were specified a weather track controller. Perfect. The whole okay, hospital system's on that type
Perfect.
Of controller.
And then the other, let's see, couple things. I just noticed the Tipuana in the, you know, is that, it's probably new, or could it be, if it's existing, then it's already a done deal, but in one of the parking lot fingers in LP2H, just thinking about root invasion, and I've had issues, even though I install 36-inch deep root barriers and still get concrete buckling and so on, so it's a great tree, but as far from, you know, hardscape as possible in my experience. Is that existing or new?
No, these are proposed trees, and uh-huh. the parking lot was actually designed with those trees in mind, so they're pretty big fingers that okay. we've got in there. I think they're minimum 8 foot, mm-hmm. So they're unusually large for a parking okay. lot.
As long as that's been considered.
Yeah, absolutely.
I trust mm-hmm. that you guys have that. And then the last thing was, in terms of drainage, is the grade being altered in this parking lot, or?
The grading and the overland flow, the inlets and everything are as they were designed
as
originally
were.
For
okay.
the hospital. So,
mostly all just going to storm drains, I take it?
No, they're being, most of that parking is draining toward the planter on the west.
Okay.
So that's an open curb there, so mm-hmm. it can drain into the planting
Good to
areas.
Know.
Yeah, that was actually suggested
Pleasant
and
surprise.
Imposed by the Planning Commission of Galena.
Excellent. Yeah. Okay, good. That was my question. Is there any other area that's utilizing traditional old-style drainage where most of the runoff is going into storm drains that you know of in terms of within the scope of new proposed work?
I would say not within the scope per se. I know existing there's some interstitial spaces between buildings and so
sure.
on that are protected
okay.
by area drains.
Then my comment to retrofit with filters was probably irrelevant because it sounds like most of it's draining too.
Yeah, and any area drain is absolutely equipped with the filtration
okay.
basket.
Good to know.
Yeah.
Great. That's all my comments. Thanks. Okay.
We'll go on try motion.
Chair.
Yep.
Before we move to motion, I think I would like to have a little bit of deliberations
okay.
on one aspect of this project. This is, having Cottage Hospital and the medical office building here in Galena are a wonderful thing, and the whole project is great. I know this has been before prior iterations of the design review board multiple times in order to get it right, and now we'll see that it's coming up right now, and it should be absolutely outstanding. One thing that was really noted for was the articulation and interest of the hospital and the medical office building. So I understand that there's an absolute need for this project. Normally you would see this be at more of a back of house thing than rather placed alongside a pretty large highway such as Patterson Avenue. This is 130 feet long and it's a 10-foot fence, and I realize this is for screening purposes. Clearly something this size needs to be screened, but to me, even with the landscaping, it seems to lack interest in it, and it's very monotonous and it's a very long run. And I just wonder, in other projects, comparing apples with apples, if this is something that we would have encouraged there to be along the street front. So I'm looking to the board to see if there's any interest or any possibility of maybe changing this a little bit to make it a little bit more interesting, a little less monotonous, something that just doesn't appear like this monolithic long wall all along Patterson Avenue. And leave it to the experts to see if there's some way to massage or manipulate that to do anything if it has any merit.
Do you want to? Yes, you're trying to keep it within the board.
Yeah, so
it's
more of a comment. I would comment that, for one, it's somewhat of an industrial corridor. You've got the hospitals and office buildings on all sides. And two, I find it fairly interesting with. And that's just a matter of opinion, but I do understand your point, Bill. At the same time, from an aesthetic standpoint, I think it's a pretty good use of a fairly monotonous wall. I think they've done a really good job with making it as attractive as possible with the landscaping and considering the color, the foliage, drought tolerance. So for me, considering the area that it's in, which is already pretty industrial in nature, I give it a thumbs up. That's just my opinion.
I'm wondering if there's some way to either step the wall a little bit in order to get some color breaks. We obviously have in this point right there, which is the stairway up to the man door, or down or whichever, right? So there's two sections, at least on the Patterson side, there's two sections of the wall. There's one here, and then there's one that turns the rest of the corner. I'm kind of with Bill. It's a little much. So I guess I'm wondering, could we do something even with just color to start to play off the other colors in the complex as opposed to just this? Is that without doing, I mean, I'm not trying to get you to spend a lot of money, but I don't think color is a whole lot. That's pretty easy to do. And if we need to maybe create a wall step to resolve the color somehow, is that kind of what the kind of... I don't know what you're thinking.
Yes, that's I was thinking. Something
kind
that created
of where I'm
just
going
some
based
sort
upon
of
that
variation.
And I'd be on board with that because I think it would just, it's such a nice building from the other side. Kind of unfortunate that this happened, but we understand that that needs to happen, and I'm not necessarily against the project. I think you guys have done a great job overall. So does the rest of the board want to chime in on that?
I'd like to chime in too. I go along with Carl's idea about maybe some differentiation in color. But instead of maybe a wall step, maybe the kind of, you know, the surface treat, the kind of concrete block used could vary. Like one section could be a more smooth surface, another one could be split face.
Well, but they're not doing concrete, they're stucco. Wall. It's a block wall with stucco on it.
Oh, okay. Correct. My mistake. I was thinking just block wall, because if you did it with like a split face block or something that had like the vertical grooves cut through it, you wouldn't need paint, and it would kind of offer a little difference of texture.
Right. Well, and this one form here, which is an existing form, right, and then the wall comes off here, I mean, that has that, within the stucco, it has the joint control.
Yeah, the joint.
Yes, joint control. I mean, you could end up doing that, right? You've got that already. Maybe there's some way to play with that and just set it back slightly so we can get a color breakup.
And as I understand it, this wall's not right on the setback, correct?
It is not.
There's a little room to jog it forward towards the street a little bit, if you, you know, just to have a little jogging in the wall. That helps.
I would definitely support the idea about color blocking.
Yeah, I'd support doing something like that, for sure.
Doable?
Sure, doable, yes. The intent was to hide the wall, to make it blend in, you know, so when you're introducing in another color, you're highlighting
you're
the wall.
You're kind of making it blend in, because mm-hmm. I remember when we first saw the hospital when it came before this board, and it really struck me that it had an almost musical facade. It felt like a jazz combo. It really felt great.
Mm-hmm.
And if you're trying to, so you, if you're going to hide it, I think you'd be better off kind of hiding it in plain sight.
Mm-hmm.
And so if you could play off those colors a little bit and just be a little bit of backup to the combo, so to speak,
mm-hmm.
instead of just trying to hide, I think that might be a little more successful. So that's why I'm agreeing with Carl and Scott and Bill.
And the other thing, and I'm not saying that, you know, you take one wall. I mean, maybe you take the entry section here and you can do something there that kind of pulls it out. And it's a little difficult because you're trying to highlight really a service entry. So I understand that, right?
Yes.
But 130 feet of wall is
correct.
A long wall, all at the same height, all the same color, and all more or less in the same plane. So I think if you could play with that to some level, I think it would be an improvement.
Okay.
And it sounds like most of the board is on.
I'd agree with that.
For that. Okay.
Did we approve with condition and then do the, would this be a consent item or something like that?
This is at conceptual level right now, so
conceptual.
You're providing comments.
I'm sorry.
Revised.
Yeah,
it's revised final.
Yes.
That's what I'm thinking, consent.
That's up to the board. If you feel comfortable, or we could do the chair designee.
That seems fine to me.
Somebody's got to try a motion.
I'll go for a motion. I'd like to make a motion to for design review approval for 351 South Patterson Cottage Hospital site amendments with the stipulation that the wall be treated with color blocking and some sort of whatever you said, Carl. playing with the plane elevation. Yeah. And so on, since you do have some room within the setback, in order to create a sort of a breaking up of the monotony. And I would propose that that could happen with consent if the board members agree.
Or do we want to do it at staff level with...
Yeah, that would be a conformance review mm-hmm. where staff, and I think at, being that there are some comments from majority of the board members that we would ask the chair or the chair designate mm-hmm. to look at the design.
Okay.
All right.
Are there any other items that I missed in terms of comments?
I think so.
I don't think so.
Chair,
so,
before we go ahead on that, I would just want to make sure that the applicant feels that you have all the information you need to go back and
yes.
take it to the next step.
We do.
Okay.
Thanks.
Do I have a second?
I'll second that.
Any further discussion? All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Okay.
Thank you.
Thank you. Item is item G1, 1020 Cambridge Drive. Madam Secretary.
Thank you. For design review, Harvest Hill Ranch, Lot 6, single family dwelling located at 1020 Cambridge Drive. It's case number 15099 DRB.
Good afternoon.
First off, declaration. Sorry about that.
No worries. I'm familiar with the site, no ex parte.
Familiar with the site, also no ex parte.
Ditto, I would say.
Same.
Site visit, no ex parte.
I had my original site visit, no new one, and no ex parte conversations.
Site visit, no ex parte.
Okay.
All right, thanks. Yeah. All right, so last time the board saw this for conceptual review on September 8th, and so we're back, as we've said, for design review approval today. I printed out the minutes from the 8th of September, just so that we could kind of go over point by point some of the items that we talked about back then. But as a refresher, the proposed house these numbers may have changed a little bit, so... It's a single-family dwelling. Originally, it was just over 3,000 square feet, but I think those numbers have kind of massaged a bit based on your comments from before. So I'll let the applicant go into that when it's time. We had the discussion of the board generally liked the architectural style. We had a discussion about the benefits of a two-car garage versus three-car garage from a design standpoint. Remember, it was just over 3,000 square feet of habitable originally, so the ordinance would have, if it had stayed that way, would have required a three-car garage. But, you know, there was some talk of would it look better with or without it. So, again, I'll let the applicant kind of go into that a little bit further when we go there.
you guys wanted to see a couple of windows on the elevation with the garage, and study what type of garage door, and then there was the discussion of gray water potential, as we've had similar discussions with the other lots here. So that was all that I really wanted to talk about. I think the applicant and architect and everyone is prepared to discuss how they've addressed your comments from last time. So I can hand it over to them and introduce yourselves, and I can take questions if you've got any.
Mr. Chair, members of the board,
Rich Ridgway with the Harvest Hill Project, lot number 6. And yes, last time when we discussed my square footage, when we put it in the computer and we thickened our walls, we grew over 3,000 square feet. And so we had the discussion of, do we want a two-car or three-car? And there are a couple issues. We chose to bring our square footage down to under 3,000. Part of the reason was I'd already graded the lot, and I would have had to go back and dredge out another 4 feet and recompact that to create more room in the back of the lot. But also, we have an oversized garage as it is, and it would create a big parking area out front of the house, really a wide parking area. And so we decided to less hardscape, more backyard, natural space, and an oversized two-car garage with under 3,000 feet. So that was our solution. Do we want to talk colors and materials, too? I might let Richard speak now.
Richard Thorne, the architect. The architectural style and character hasn't changed. So because we stayed with the two-car garage, it's pretty much consistent. When we get into the working drawings opened up, down this side, which is where you had addressed adding some more fenestration, we have done, actually added a wainscot of the slump block as well that goes around it. When you look at the
engineered plan.
Right. Okay. What I was going to say is, you look at this, when you think about the fact that if we pull forward with the garage, we then started to crowd the street more, and I felt that the separation between this building and that building was important as well. And if you go back, you can see you start to get further and further back into the hill, and didn't make a lot of sense to go for the three-car garage. So when you look at the plan, the area that has changed, this part was all the same and was done with the slump block on the wall. This wainscot existed and returned partway back. It's now all the way back. Added these two windows in addition at that location. So that's basically what we did, and that you can see. The house floor plan really didn't change. It's like an inch here, inch there, that all got pushed up because we went to 6-inch exterior walls for insulation. So just adjusting these things with minor changes brought us down to the square footage that we now have.
I mean, as I understand, you went from 3,082 to 29-something, 40.
Right there.
2990.
Right. So, okay. Yeah, and that was just a matter of
that's
making...
that's gross, right?
Yeah. Okay. Yeah, that's just a matter of making minor adjustments to make that happen. Elevation character is, again, consistent with the original design you saw. This was a part of the original design, but like I say, only returned partway back. And now, as you can see, that's the element that was in concern, in concern originally. And so that's, you know, generally the character is unchanged. Same style, barn style, shutters, etc., happening that were in the original designs.
And the other garage?
This is the front. That's the front garage. And what I've done there is I stayed, because we have a tall garage door. We have an 8-foot garage door, so I didn't want to go to one piece. We had discussion about the use of maybe a corrugated metal door and some of those kind of things, but with an 8-foot door, we don't want to do that. So I stayed sectional, and did it in the panel tile with the glass in the top.
We're taking your comment to heart in lot five.
Right.
Probably will be introducing it. So,
yeah. So we'll be mixing them up.
Yeah.
We'll be mixing them up in the other houses.
Okay.
Okay. Colors. Proposed color scheme is that. The lighting fixture scheme is the same as we had talked about on lot 7. And just to give you an idea, that was the color scheme of lot 7 you approved. With the modifications that came out. Right, when we darkened things up.
The off-white thing.
Right, that's the revised scheme. The asphalt shingle portion of the roof is the CertainTeed Max Def type. It's the one that gives you the nice character. The standing seam section of roof, which is at the front of the front porch and the big back porch, mm-hmm. is the same color that we proposed on the lot 7, the same type of seams and so forth.
Questions from the board? Do we have any olive trees on this?
Yes.
Oh.
I just have one question. Looking over the minutes from the last meeting, or the results of our conversation on number 5, where it says, consider incorporating gray water system as part of the new construction. What was your conclusion on that?
We've incorporated the gray water stub out and the backflow preventer and so on as part of this irrigation system and also on lot 7.
Any other questions from the board? The two olive trees that I brought up that I shouldn't have probably.
Yeah,
they're existing? Are they existing?
No, we're installing those. Oh, but okay. Like I said, it's two, not 32.
Are they on this lot?
Yes. So you can see our little gray water details, and then we're stubbing out from the laundry room here to go out, and then we're specifying what equipment will be installed by the homeowner and so on.
And in reality, it's going to end up watering the slope bank on the Cambridge side, because that's the only thing that's at an elevation low enough to gravity. And we'll tell our homeowners that we've installed it, and if they choose to. Because some of the research was showing us that the laundry soaps today on the high efficiency thing are not good for plants, and so
so we've got a full drip system, and then the landscaping we've designed such that it would tie in as an entry, flanking the entry drive with the lot 7. So we've got a little corner of blue ice plant, some agaves and a phormium. We've got existing oak tree that we're protecting. All along Cambridge, it's almost like a little existing grove there, so it's quite thickly treed. There's one pine tree in the mix there as well. So the planting along Cambridge is mostly prostrate ceanothus, and then we've got an area where the cross street, and I'm forgive me, but I don't know the name of that little street that is at 90 degrees in Vena. Yeah, so where that intersects there, we've put a little cluster of Catalina cherry so that we'll get some height and density there. But as I said, it's mostly some Rus, or Rus integrifolia or lemonade berry along there. So just a native kind of landscape. At the entry, some bougainvillea, some agaves, and then forgot what we put there. Some Mexican sage, so we've got a little bit of color on the corners there. And as we go along, we've got drifts of lavender, again, a little cluster of the Mexican sage, phormium, agave, that kind of thing. So we've got some accent planting. There's a cobble swale that is proposed here on the civil grading plan, so we have ornamental sandstone boulders and then cobble there. Off the drive and entry there, we've got a little flagstone walk going to a gate, and then the wire fencing shown tying into the building across here. And just a very informal landscape of rock rose, Mexican sage, ceanothus, that kind of thing. The two olive trees that Mr. Schneider was kind enough to bring up are at the front entry, and those tie in with the lot across the way there. They have two olive trees as well, kind of going up to their front entry.
And projecting forward at the other driveway entrance, are we doing similar then when we get there? Or?
I don't think we've gotten there quite yet, but we'll probably mix it up a little bit as we go through. Along the back of the property, we're proposing again a synthetic lawn at this point in time.
Unless we get good rains and they say we're okay.
Yeah, so then we can revise that to be a true lawn. A very generous flagstone patio in the back and flagstone walkway leading through. And then some accent plants, which include bird of paradise. We have two cycads, sago palms, and some cerises or western redbud along the through drive and at the back of the property.
Birds.
Yeah, and then we have two large bird of paradise. And on the garage wall, where we have some open facades there without windows or flat facades, we're proposing pink powder puff or a calandra espalier, so that'll be a nice thick green edge there. In the backyard, we've got a little detention basin, so that's hydroseeded on the slopes with a particular mix, and then on the base or the bottom part of the basin with a carex or sedge, meadow sedge, and then some fruit trees in the back and some additional oak trees to kind of screen the lot above from this lot. So we've got another couple oak trees proposed there.
One question, is there any issue with leaves collecting in the gutters on the roofs?
Always.
Yeah. Yes, probably so. So we'll have bird traps in the gutters because they all go down underground to this basin. So we'll
get leaf
screen. Yeah.
Ladders.
Any other questions from the board? Comments?
I'll go ahead and start with comments. It's the 3,000 square foot is what we were required to the car garage. So I'm glad that you're able to figure out a way to get to less than 3,000 square feet. I think the two-car garage seems appropriate. And I also appreciate when we asked you to consider incorporating a gray water system. Stubbing in is a good start. I don't know if it's possible at the initial planning phase to kind of consider incorporating that when you look at your site layout, if that's ever a possibility as this becomes a more mature concept and maybe as we get better detergents, things like that. So I'm in support of this project. I think it should move forward.
I say ditto. The applicant has answered all of the questions that we had asked and all the things that were commented on from the last meeting. And this is a very nice project, and I totally support it.
I can support this as submitted.
As can I. But one question, did we ever look at street lighting for this street?
We don't have any street lighting.
There's no street lighting?
No.
Landscape lighting?
Conscious discussion with the Planning Commission and Council, they really want to light this up.
When you look at the lighting sheet, you see one pole-type light. Those are proposed in the front area. They're like, they can be either four or five, you know, we'd vary them depending upon the situation with which house it would be. But they're not designed, they're dark sky fixtures, they're the same cone fixture that happens on the inside. So it just creates a general sense of lighting on the ground.
And there's no landscape lighting?
No, nothing on the building or anything like that other than that style.
A question, if my buyers came back later and wanted to put landscape lighting in, am I requiring them not to? I didn't think I addressed
that. I wouldn't think with the low incandescence, low voltage landscape lighting, does that ever come before the board? I don't think so.
From a processing standpoint, no. Not on its own. I think if it was a part of a larger, a larger review.
What you're asking is, do you need to tell them that they can't?
Yeah, because I've got some beautiful oak trees that someone might want to throw some uplighting on.
Can't
do it? Because dark sky.
Okay.
And I think that's in our architecture guidelines.
No.
Yeah, that's right. Dark sky. That's right.
Just a comment that thank you for incorporating the gray water in particular. Great to hear it. Answered the question before I asked it.
It was a good reminder that we need to be responsible in that way.
I think it's a very nice project.
I'll go ahead. I will move for design approval of the project, Lot 6 at 1020 Cambridge Drive, Harvest Hill Ranch. The project meets all the items of neighborhood compatibility regarding size, bulk, scale, style, solar access. It fills the bill. A very high quality of architectural design. There's a harmony of colors and materials. It's overall just a lovely project, so we find that it meets all the points of quality architectural design. The quality of the landscaping design is ditto. It's well thought out with respect to the local ecosystem and the local sensibilities and the general tone of the site. And it complies with everything in zoning, and I recommend for design approval.
Second.
I'll second the motion.
Any further discussion? All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Okay.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Brian, I wanted to ask, because we came forward to you originally with lots 5, 6, and 7. We came forward first with 7, then with 6. Do we need to continue officially lot 5? Because we're going to be working on that and coming to you next on that one. And it's really up to Richard when he can be ready to come see you.
I want to say we continued it last time to
the first one in January.
Remember when we came to call?
We continued both to this meeting, I believe, but you weren't ready
now
we need to
continue 5.
We should probably continue it officially.
Continue this?
Well,
it's not on
the agenda.
Lot 5. We'll come to you next on that one.
We'll talk about processing.
Yeah.
Figure that out.
It's not on our agenda.
Right. Okay. I was just saying, do we need to technically continue it again? Because I think we continued it to this
point. It's not on our agenda, so you got to work it out with them.
Yeah.
I can't help you.
Okay. Thank you.
Okay, next item, conceptual review for item H1, 7 Baker Lane. Madam Secretary.
Item H1 is conceptual review. It's a new single-family residence at 7 Baker Lane, case number 15140 DRB.
Declarations.
Site visit, no ex parte.
Site visit, no ex parte.
I did not make a site visit, no ex parte.
I didn't make a site visit, but I'm very familiar with it. I drive past it a fair amount, but I had no ex parte.
Site visit, no ex parte.
No site visit, no ex parte conversations.
Site visit, no ex parte.
Okay, that leads it to you, Joe.
Hey, good afternoon. Today I have a request for a conceptual review for a new single-family home. The parcel where the home is going to be going was previously subdivided
is currently vacant. The lot is approximately 10,000 square feet in the design residential 4.6 zone district. The applicant is proposing to construct a new 3,182 square foot single family home. The house would consist of a 2,377 square foot single family dwelling and attached 105 square foot three car garage with a patio located at the rear. And then just at this point, I'll hand over to the applicant to walk you through the design. And then here, if you have any questions.
I guess I'm wondering if we have a set of plans.
Yeah.
Do we have a big set or just that little one? We have a little one, I can just do one.
Yeah. It's usually easier to use the smaller set on the camera.
Where you want to start, you're going to need to zoom in probably. You're on this one, not on that one. Camera can't get there. Sorry.
All right, no problem.
You need a pointer?
Well, basically, if you know where the lots are on Baker Lane, and
this one. Make sure that microphone's on. Push the button down there. There we go.
And so, information. Basically, the lot when we got it, the surveys and so forth showed some of the property is actually out in the street for whatever reason previous situations were created. So it kind of makes a lot of little. We have a sidewalk and some accessways that are in public right of way that's on the lot on the property. And so it's basically by having a three-car garage, it takes almost there are existing curb cuts which we're going to use, and the front yard escape too, because we have landscapes on that, and then the back is the open fields across the way, which they have a view off that side to the west.
Setback is still being measured. Property line, though, not from back to sidewalk.
That's exactly right.
Okay.
They actually lost like seven feet of the front yard. And so then, as you saw, that we were trying to single-story home, trying to make it so that the setbacks in the can oscillate in the back to acquire the same amount of setback. And then the next phase is just basically it's a court entry. We have landscape on all that. It's a four-bedroom home with an office and a three-car garage. Two fireplaces. What we're looking for is kind of a rancho, sort of in the sense when you start seeing the exterior elevations of the detailing to be in a natural wood, but there are more of a plastered aspect of it, wood accents, and the color board. I think that Joe's got that as well. Gray and natural woods, and just some fenestrations to if you've been in the area. Then you see there's a lot of white houses and so forth, so we were trying to tone it down a little bit and go more towards the gray, black and wood. That's just a roof plan. Requested to go ahead and address the landscape in the front part of the street, the elevation of the house. They're all high drought tolerant plants, as well as the trees and so forth that we've added.
Okay. Questions from the board? Tom?
Yes. looking at the front elevation and also the in effect the floor plan as well. Looking at the placement of the two garage doors feels really it feels really, really awkward. Is there any reason that you couldn't flip those around. Because that way the two-car garage door would automatically be centered under that gable, and the single-door garage door would be off on the side, as opposed to what now. It just doesn't feel right having the edge of that gable come down right in the middle of the garage
door. Originally, that's how it was. And then the use of the garages were indicated that the wider condition would be easier to egress in and out of as opposed to the smaller, so it's going to have less use. But that originally, that's how we had that set up. The larger door was centered underneath that exposed gable. It can certainly be back that way. It was just that there was people's input as to how they would be using it, but the wife would have the single car garage and not have
all right.
Fifth lawn.
And another question that I have is regarding bedroom number one. I understand you need to have closet space in the bedrooms. But having that projection off the front elevation there, and then just using it for a closet without having any not any windows there. And as a matter of fact, it needs to be the actual where it pops up needs to actually be drawn
here. Yeah,
it, again, this is something to me that just feels very awkward and blank.
The as you'll see, the trellis work above actually is a lineup of that poke out.
I understand.
I'm sorry. So there would be a line coming there.
Right. No, I understand that, but still, it just feels very blank. And I'm just wondering if there's not some other way of accommodating a closet in that floor plan and being able to get around that.
One of the other considerations is that's the street side. Is the car lights, if you've been there and you go to the site, you'll see when you come around the corner, you drive up, the lights are going to be in that face. It's just so that we don't have children with access to the outside with the car lights as well, privacy.
Well, that's my questions for right now.
Other questions from the board?
Is this architectural style or layout exactly the same or similar to the one that's being proposed at 3 Baker Lane?
Yes, they're both the same. Same styling, similar to that.
Garage shifted. And this material, which I assume is happening
across that face, right,
is?
It's going to be a plywood over the stucco because we want to have some warmth to the gray. And that's the same thing with the doors. It's going to be in the doors as well. It's going to be a grooved ply.
Like T111?
T111. Or actually, there's more. They have better products out there than T111 now. It has a deeper groove, so you get a little more shadow line on it. And the garage door will look the same. It'll just be cut.
I'm trying to get it. What does a 211 look like?
It's just a plywood with a groove, too. They have a cut groove.
Oh,
you know,
okay.
They used to use it a lot in the old days. And then
French press building, the wood on the balconies is all that.
Okay. The driveway, is that existing or new?
It'll be new. The curb cuts are existing, but the driveway isn't, and we're just using the curb cuts for the...
Other questions, comments? Somebody want to?
Mr. Chair, can I just submit here? Alternate board member Whalen had provided some comments that he wanted to pass along, and I think it's basically what board member Smith just articulated. And Joe, you want to give this to the chair? Said that the. He suggested to reverse the garage door arrangement to better relate to the gable end of the roof. The double door should align with the center line of the gable and the single door underneath the pitched end of the gable. And then another comment on the closet of the bedroom one isn't shown on the elevation, and that the blank area of the closet is not street friendly and looks unfinished under the exposed truss of the gable end.
Okay, Tom.
Okay, I'll restrict myself to comments at this point. I like the floor plan. I think it's well thought out. Feels the dome. I got no real problems with that. But I traveled that street. I went up and down. I looked at the other houses on it. And I got to say, I have a lot of problems with this design. I'm sorry. I just do. Number one, I understand what you're saying about access. I don't see where it's going to be that big of a problem to justify moving the two-car garage door where it is. I really, really, really think the two-car garage door needs to be centered under that gable. It just looks awkward, and that affects the look of the community there. Number two, I understand not wanting to get lights from the street, but still, you got to admit, by looking from the street in, even with the pop out there, it looks empty. It needs a window. I don't know how else to explain it. It just does. Where the front entry porch is with the two supports, I feel those are way, way too close together. They need to be a bit more wider, far apart. It just feels too compressed and vertical in that space. Also, the detailing, as far as the truss detailing on the various gables. I think we ought to see something a little more substantial with that, because it just feels too weak. And then the overall comment too. I see why you're trying to vary the surface materials. Something that resembles T111, even if it has a deeper groove, not my favorite choice. It just seems like there's too much of a stark transition from that to the stucco. It needs to be, finessed more. Finally, last but not least, with the exception of the position of the garage, the next project which we're going to see, they are identical. They're exactly identical side by side. Even in the most basic housing tract, which has come before this board, at least the developers had flip plans. So there's like a reverse of the floor. One way and then there's a reverse. Or there's some kind of difference to break it up. I, having two houses that are so close together and so similar on that street, there is a variety of styles on that street. Some of them are quite nice, and I just see this as just not contributing to that. So that's what it's worth. There it is.
Okay. I'll jump in. I emphatically agree with Tom. I think. And I would add to it that not only that, you have them, they're identical colors.
Mm-hmm. If I had Spanish houses, they'd be identical color too.
So, well, I'd say you could vary your styles and try to, it's like you've done a cookie cutter on two houses on a lot with in the neighborhood where there's a lot of variability there. So,
and the reason they're like that, if I may say, so we get this off, is that the curb cuts are existing. We didn't do that. You guys did that.
I understand. We didn't do that.
Well, somebody approved it.
It wasn't me.
The previous board. I just meant the city did. That's all I'm saying.
What I'm saying is I can't support this as is.
Sure.
And I would say spend some time to make your design more cohesive and have it make more sense. And I mean, it can be different than the other houses. That's fine, but I think it needs to be much better developed.
Anybody else?
Yeah, I'll. I agree. I guess the only
additional comments on the architecture I would make is, you know, I'd like to see what the garage door is really going to look like, a photo or a cut sheet. And, you know, if we're going to do a material, an enhanced material on the front, maybe it can turn the corners on the sides. And I concur with everything Tom and Scott just said. I'll comment on landscape, and this would apply to both lots. The curb cuts are too large. I know they're existing, and I would strongly encourage you to work with Public Works to narrow those down, because I think the it's driving the driveway to be way too wide on both lots. We need a landscape plan for the whole lot, not just the front yard. I would urge you to consider planting some trees that would function as street trees on this street. I don't see any trees proposed. I'd strongly encourage the walkway to join with the sidewalk rather than the driveway. And there's a plant on here that's invasive, the pampas grass. And I think I would encourage you to, you know, to engage a landscape designer or architect to do these plans.
I've got one question and then a comment. Let's call it the fourth bathroom that's in the garage, what's the intent for that?
Well, the basic intent is that people that might be in construction business come home and they go ahead and shower or go to the bathroom, or they're working on their car, whatever it is. They're finding that in our, we do a lot of houses all over the state of California, not just in Goleta, and that's becoming more and more where they actually, they don't even go in the laundry room to do it now, they do it in a little remote tag.
All right. And next, I just wanted to make the comment about, the planner for the lawn space to the south of the front door is just through one exterior wall to the laundry, and that, again, we might consider gray water.
Oh, no.
System for that.
Yeah, I'm sorry. We just heard from the previous. We have gray water. Every house we've done in the last 6 months has all had gray water hookups, and from various jurisdictions, not just from Goleta.
Okay. And then just one comment based on what Tom was saying with that east-facing wall on bedroom one, is just throwing it out there. Maybe faux shutters is a compromise, but just an idea.
We looked at the windows on that, because side walls of the closet, but then we thought, well, do we really want to go ahead and take up all the walls in that house with windows? And that's why we just went to the same one the other bedrooms had, so if you had kids, you didn't have to play favorites.
Well, no, for security, for privacy reasons, my wife would not like a window on that bedroom facing
this roof.
So that's the counterbalance point. But
right.
His aesthetic point, you know, maybe there's a hybrid plan.
Bill?
I just have one question. Actually, it's for staff. Is there any home buyer disclosure of the agricultural zoning to the west?
For these properties? No, there wouldn't be, since it's not really considered to be like a safety issue that I think of.
I'm on board with most of what's been said. I think the there's obviously some proportion things. I think it's imperative to, if we're going to do this gable thing, that the two-car needs to sit under that, so you can flip that. I think the comments about the entry are valid, and the comments about the closet are valid. And I think probably the biggest problem I have is that both houses are the same, and I think that needs to change. I think it doesn't take a lot of money to change styles from one house to another, and so I think you just ought to go there, even though we're dealing, I don't know how we're going to, maybe we'll just, we can't, because they're individual applications, we have to deal with them one at a time, but I think the sense of the board is that, well, maybe we'll get to that, just shorten that one when we get there. But
So I'm on board with what's been said so far. I think we need, you know, while I understand it would be better back here if you're going to do wood siding to do a board and bat, even with a plywood and a bat, rather than T111. I don't think that's going to cost you a whole lot more, and it's a whole lot richer material. It's going to give you a little more shadow. And I don't know if you want to make, you know, how you want to differentiate. I mean, that's for you to decide from one house to the next and the style, but I think I'm certainly not on board with both houses being the same, even though we're going to deal with them individually. So somebody want to try a motion? Oh, go ahead.
Can I ask a question?
Sure.
With regards to 7 on that closet, where we had discussed the front closet.
Mm-hmm.
The elevation of the lot, I got a block wall that comes up halfway up that. So from the street view,
you're subterranean.
You're subterranean.
You guys said you drove by, so the idea is, you know, the street goes up and the lots don't. They dig and cut in.
So that right there is kind of hidden.
Because out in the front there, I think there's a four foot retaining landscape wall, whatever.
Off to that right there.
Right, that's the start of it.
That's
right.
The start of it, and it goes.
Then there's the cut for what, you know, whatever they're doing.
Oh.
So then, you know, it has a little stair cut as it goes up. That's right. Those areas when we landscaped to the corner there and made that kind of a secure area. And we understand what you're saying.
Right.
So my question is, are you requesting us to put a window there or just to do better detailing there for get our vision?
It's not, even though we're involved with size, bulk, scale, neighborhood compatibility and all that, it's not our purview to design the house for the applicant. You need to do something with that. The board is pretty unanimous that even with the wall popping out where the closet is, it just looks empty. It needs to be filled in. My preference would be for a window. I know that creates problems on the floor plan. James is going to have a look at it. Maybe it means the wing extends out a little bit. Maybe not. The closet goes somewhere else, and that becomes like a window seat or something like that. But it even though there's that cut there, it's still, most of that is still visible.
Right. I would argue that it's visible as you drive up the street, even though the retaining wall is starting to step up here, and by the time it's over here, it is 4 feet.
Yeah, we'll look at it. I mean, I think we're just talking about it.
So, you know, whether the closet's there, you know, it's not as simple as dropping a window in there. You know, maybe the closet needs to shift and this becomes an offset gable form, or, you know, that's where you guys need to come back and take another shot.
I know. If you're going to let us offset this, then we're going to argue about the comments.
Okay, does somebody want to This is a conceptual review.
Mr. Chair, I think the board's provided comments, and that's the purpose of conceptual. And for efficiency's sake, I know you've already discussed some, made some comments on the lot next door, adjacent lot, but we could read that into the record, and if there's additional comments on that house particularly to add to. But we can use the comments that you've made for both.
Okay. Great. Somebody want to try a motion? Oh, no motion? We don't need a motion. No.
I would just clarify that for me personally, I don't have any comments on the other house that are different from the comments on this house.
Right.
Just for the record, the landscape plan will need common names. The legend will have to be in accordance with the plant list. As we said, that there's maybe half the plants don't actually show up on the plan that are on the list. Looking at the invasive plant, and I think that the other comments were probably taken care of. Oh, And you guys are going to need at least irrigation notes. I don't think you really need an irrigation plan, but just specify the kind of equipment that you'll be using.
Do you have a preference as to which gray water system you guys like to use? There are several out there now.
Probably the laundry to landscape for one. That's the one that we're looking at.
That is the way you want it. If you want to be in a filtered system or catchment reservoir,
uh-huh.
Or it can be gone out and turned on and off as necessary.
I don't really think. I think as long as there's sleeves or it's even installed and that during the construction process that could be chosen with the homeowner as long as it's in compliance.
Yeah.
Okay. That's it.
Did you want to say three or just say three ditto?
Yeah.
Yeah, we'll end up doing that in the minutes, right?
That's correct.
Yeah.
And
it'll be the same.
And if the board would like, we could address 7 Baker Lane and 3 Baker Lane with the same comments in the minutes, so we don't have to redo this. And whether the applicants will be ready to come back at the next meeting in January.
When you want to come back?
January.
Chair, before we go too far, I'm sorry.
I just had one, not to be entirely negative, I did have one last comment. I like the way that you worked out the back there to with the variable thing for the setback. I thought
that was City of Goleta.
Okay.
Yeah, that's good. I mean, it gives a guy a chance because otherwise we lost 7 foot out in front of
the Yeah, exactly. Prepared. Well, I do like the way you did that. I do like the floor plan overall.
Bill, you were going to say something?
Thank you. I did have some additional comments that would be associated with 3 Baker Lane, because that's on the corner right there on Carrial. It's unique in the track. It's very highly visible. It will be. It can be seen from two sides on Carrial. I don't know what the distance is from the street to where the building begins, but it looks like it's closer than the other ones that are similarly placed along Carrial and along the other streets, such as Daffodil. One thing that has been successfully done is for those other homes that are along Carrial, there's been adequate screening, which has been good for the residents and also good for just the visual impacts of those homes along Carrial. So I think it's really going to be crucial on 3 Baker that the kind of screening be adequate in terms of, I don't know whether that's more sound walls or whether that's the kind of large
foliage
that's been placed in front of those other homes that are along Carrial as well, which have been successful. But I, you know, in terms of adding additional comments to that one, I think it's even more crucial on 3 Baker Lane than it is on 7.
We hadn't determined exactly where we're going to go with that. The subdivision has already started a wooden fence type situation, which is it's an odd situation where the fence is up above, and then your property comes over 5 feet, then it drops down 5 feet, then it comes. So it does that all the way down the hill. So on the down the street side, we were thinking we're going to do maybe an undulating wood fencing and then pocket it with landscaping and so forth, which we just hadn't, we didn't know how much we were supposed to give here for this review. But we can certainly do that.
One of the thick findings we have to make is neighborhood compatibility. And this is kind of a mostly custom homes that have unique eclectic styles. And so the styles on 3 and 7 have to be dissimilar.
Well, we're thinking 3 or 4 stores.
The options for coming back January 12th or January 26th? Holidays, Christmas, just throwing it out.
Christmas was here? Well, the sooner the better, so that way we can get going. If we have more
January
comments,
12th.
We can get those
Okay. Continue to January 12th. Okay.
Thanks.
Thank you.
Let's have a vote for continuance. Yes, please.
Okay. Do we have a motion?
I'll move to continue item H1, 7 Baker Lane, and item H2, 3 Baker Lane, to January 12th.
Second. Any further discussion? All those in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? So carried. Next item H3, 93 Castilian. Madam Secretary.
H3. is the Verizon Monopine Wireless Facility. It's located at 93 Castilian Drive, case number 15007 DRB, for a conceptual review.
Declarations?
I'm familiar with the site. No expert.
Same.
Same here.
No expert.
And same here?
Site visit, no expert.
Same here. Site visit, no expert.
Good afternoon. This is for a conceptual review for a proposed 55-foot tall Verizon Monopine Wireless Telecommunications Facility. It's located on an existing 1.75-acre property, and it currently houses a two-story multi-tenant building over at 93 Castilian. As part of the Monopine, there will be nine antennas mounted on the trunk of the Monopine, as well as associated equipment in other parts of the property. But I'm going to leave that to Maria Kim of Complete Wireless Consulting here to walk us through the design of the project and also different various components of the project.
Good evening, members of the DRB. My name is Maria Kim. I work for Complete Wireless Consulting and represent Verizon Wireless in this particular project. First of all, I would like to quickly distribute out additional photo sims. I believe the staff report that you had provided, Michael, didn't have that fourth location that you had requested from Cormar, and so there are some additional physical copies.
Mr. Chair, we're noticing some feedback with the microphones, and perhaps everyone can turn their microphones off until you speak. You can turn it back on. That might help.
There's just, this application was originally submitted in January. We had a slightly different location. We were taking up six parking spots, and all of the equipment was outside and in the parking area. Around the summer, after Michael had provided comments from the Goleta Planning Department, we decided to move all of the noise-generating equipment inside to the building. And so our new plans reflect that the generator, the HVAC units, the outdoor equipment, cabinets, all of that would be located inside the building now. And if you look on page A2.1 of the site plans, you can see the inside layout and how we've kind of created two smaller rooms, which will have their own enclosed walls as well as doors in order to further dampen any sound that would be occurring from the equipment. Additionally, we moved the stealth mono pine tree from outside in the parking lot to an existing area of landscaping. We won't be disturbing any of the existing trees that are there at the moment, and instead we seek to use the existing trees, the existing height of the trees, to help further stealth our mono pine tree. Ultimately, I'm here for any questions that you may have. I've provided sample boards as well as I can also provide locations of built trees that if the DRB or the Planning Commission in the future would like to visit, that is also a possibility. But we have taken into account all the things that we possibly could to present a design and a location that would work for the city of Goleta.
Did you guys do the installation at, and I can't remember the name of the street, out there by the old cement plant, I guess, for lack of a better?
Overpass?
No, not no. Overpass, because that was the other one. I don't
I could go to the map and show you. There was one done.
One by Citrix?
Yeah, by Citrix.
I'm good. This is the first project. I couldn't speak to the other Verizon facilities that are in the city, but I know this is the first complete wireless consulting headed project that is being proposed in the city.
Chair, I had two questions.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Does GLEDA have a policy on co-location for telecommunication sites? And will this, if so, will this project be able to achieve that goal in terms of planning for the future?
Yes, within the telecommunications wireless facilities chapter, there is a section on co-location, and that in the future, any facilities, it's actually co-location is also recommended, but it's encouraged. Encouraged. So there's less actual facilities out there, and so then that many facilities can group into one.
I just bring this up. It seems we have more requests for new facilities than co-location. My second question is for the applicant. Are there other screening choices other than monopine that are available?
Yes, there are. We could also propose a different kind of tree. I know there are broadleaf trees, eucalyptus trees. Personally, I like the pine trees better because you are able to put needle socks on the antennas, and so the antennas itself can kind of be stealth with a needle-like material, so they're doubly stealth, if you will, and so you cannot see where the kind of the antennas are near the crown of the tree. There are also, we could do a water tank. Other options are a windmill, things like that. Unfortunately, this particular location has tall existing trees, which is why we proposed the tree here. More rural areas, you know, they seem to prefer windmills and water tanks. And all of the Verizon facilities that CWC proposes are always co-location available. Just as a kind of FYI, usually antennas need to be placed 10 feet away from each other. So ultimately, we would love to have a taller tree here in order to have additional co-locators on the pole. But on a 55-foot tree, we are able to have at least one or two additional antennas placed on the pole.
Thank you for that information.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to ask this because I've never asked this before.
Okay.
Is there some, these are, placed fairly rigidly on a grid. Is there some way to bend the support mechanism so that these are not so, in plane? And what does that do for, let's just start there.
Well, the way that these antennas work is they kind of beam out, the longer 8-foot panels kind of beam out in like a circle like this way. And so I believe our RF engineer, Verizon's RF engineer, has kind of designed this to meet the coverage and capacity objectives that were kind of identified in the city of Goleta. I have never heard or have worked on another project where we have bent the antenna arms, although I'm willing to ask out.
Well, I've never asked for it either, so I don't know if it's even possible, but I, you know, that is one of the issues I have with the monopole, mm-hmm. is that because of the, when you see them, because of the rigidity of this, even though they've got the socks and you can get the fairly dense branch structure, mm-hmm. they do hide fairly well, certainly from a distance.
Mm-hmm.
But as you get close to them, it becomes very apparent that this antenna structure is up in there.
Mm-hmm.
Seems to me that if you could bend it or tweak it a little bit, that might take a little bit of that away. I don't know.
I will certainly ask.
Let's at least ask the question.
Definitely. I do know that the way that they are structured right now in those three planes are hitting kind of the three sectors that our RF engineer identified as being target areas for what they want this particular pole to achieve.
Yeah, because you're not getting anything. I don't know which orientation this sets. Probably just like that. So there's nothing going to the mountains, really, is there?
No. We would need additional height in order to, the terrain doesn't allow for that particular sector to be met here.
Okay. And can I see that board just? Any other questions from the board?
Just as a quick note, we did hear from CMC Rescue, which is the neighboring business at a neighboring building for the site, and they sent me an email saying that they have concerns over the height of the structure, of the monopine structure, and also the potential radiation from electromagnetic waves emitted from the antenna. So I just want to make you aware of that. She was not able to attend this meeting today. So
email, can we?
I made a couple copies.
I'm just going to take that as you read that into the record, and we'll go from there.
I would just like to say that we are completely code compliant with the height that we have proposed this tree to be. I believe the City of Goleta's code allows for 75-foot tall towers when it comes to telecom. I understand that this particular area, the Industrial Research Park, has a height limit within this particular parcel of 35 feet. And in order to mitigate the fact that 35 feet to 75 feet is quite a large jump, we proposed a 55-foot tall tree. This would allow the antennas to be at about 45 feet, and we were requesting that extra additional height so that it doesn't look like a blunted off treetop, and instead it will taper up and look more natural as it can be.
Question, you mentioned a eucalyptus tree would be an option.
Mm-hmm.
Do you have any photos of what that would look like?
I am happy to provide built trees that already built trees to see. Again, due to this particular location and the trees that were nearby and the kind of stealthing that the pine tree could provide, that was the proposed.
I'm just looking at this overall streetscape, and there aren't too many pine trees in the area, and there are quite a lot of palms and eucalyptuses.
We can also do a palm tree. However, that is not a favorite of mine, only because the antennas don't have socks on them. Mm-hmm. And you would be able to see the antennas kind of sitting around that frond part of the palm tree. And I did not think that the city would be amenable to such a design. Happy to provide the eucalyptus design if that is something that is being requested.
I think it'd be worth looking at. That's okay. Just my 2 cents.
If you could it also be possible to see the palm tree?
Sure.
To see, and these would all be 55 feet?
Yes. I will...
I haven't seen a good palm tree one, to be real honest. They do... Well, I believe we approved eucalyptus at Overpass.
The Overpass one is a pine.
Oh, is it?
Yeah.
Oh.
I actually do have a picture of that Overpass one.
Overpass.
As built.
Yeah.
This one is... See.
Yeah, I remember we worked long and hard with them on that, with the shape and
silhouette.
Everything.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, the
silhouette of that.
Worked out well.
You know?
Okay.
Yeah. Trying to point the top, but not too much. And literally, as the branches go down, they get a little longer towards the bottom.
Oh, yeah, we definitely make sure that that happens. It doesn't look right if it's going to look more like a cypress tree and, you know, we're trying to mimic something that is natural, so. I would love a copy of this, Michael.
Okay.
Yeah, that's one of the better.
That's one of the better, right.
Better ones in the city.
Yep.
Well, as far as comments?
Yep.
Okay. I don't have a problem with the overall height. Given the height of the existing trees in that area,
mm-hmm.
I think the 55 height hits it just about right. And even though there's not a lot of pines in the area, it's also a typical thing in the Goleta Valley that wherever you have an original farmstead, like the Stowe House or the Sexton House or any number of other ones, or over at Bishop Ranch, one of the things that's typical is they would be great plant collectors. And so there would be plants, and there would be trees there that might be a bit incongruous that you would never find anywhere else just because the original people that owned that ranch thought there was something nice and they planted, but still, and it's still there. So I'm not really too bothered about the idea of a palm tree being there. But
pine tree?
Yeah, pine tree, I'm sorry. But that's my comment. So.
Okay, other comments, Bill?
Sure. Chair, I think there's been two good improvements as a result of this process. One of them is the associated equipment being located inside the building, so good job on that, and also moving the monopine out of the parking lot. I guess I was just going to say, with the drought, this may be one of the few pines remaining.
Okay.
I was just going to say, I'm curious to see the eucalyptus one, but I think right now the pine with the socks just is probably the leading contender in my mind. Thank you.
Yep, and I would agree with that. I would like to see the eucalyptus because I thought we had obviously put one there, but apparently not. So, okay. But I do know that we spent a lot of time on that one. So if you can match that silhouette on that one, that would be great.
Okay.
And I'm good otherwise. I do appreciate you moving the equipment inside.
Thank you very much. That was actually a very arduous process to get that done. So we are really trying to work with the city and bring forth a design that's buildable and doable.
Okay.
I'm the same. I mean, if you could create one of those, I'm completely on board.
Okay.
And when do you want to come back, I guess? We are...
Well, this is, Mr. Chair, this project will have to go to Planning Commission, so after that point, it'll come back for design review. We'll have to renotice and schedule at that time.
Okay.
And we will bring your comments to the Planning Commission.
Just to clarify, so it'll be Planning Commission and then final design review board again?
That's correct.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
Okay.
Thank you.
It.
Okay, thank you.
We'll take it off calendar and go from there. Thank you.
And I can leave my copy behind too.
Okay, next item, H4, 180 North Fairview Drive. Madam Secretary.
Thank you. It's a conceptual review. The Fuel Depot new development plan located at 180 North Fairview Avenue, case number 15063, DRB.
Okay, and I will be recusing myself as the property owner is a client of mine.
I will be recusing myself for the same reason.
And I'll be recusing myself and presenting on the other side of the table.
All right, Madam Secretary, can you please read the item? Let's get this started.
It's been read.
By mistake. Okay, so we turn it over to Michael then.
Can you do some, just some.
Oh yeah, I'm sorry. I need
site visit.
Disclaimers.
No ex parte.
Okay, site visit, no ex parte.
And site visit, no ex parte conversations.
Site visit, no ex parte.
And if the other board members want to come on up over here to get a better view of the drawings, come on up.
Michael, you want to zoom out? Do you have the zoomer? Kind of center the plans. Thank you.
Hello. This is a request for conceptual review. It was originally scheduled for the November 10, 2015 DRB meeting, but not heard at that point. The applicant has since revised the project, so what you're seeing now is the revised project. This is for the Fuel Depot new development plan, with the design consisting of a 2,396 square foot Spanish-style convenience store, which will replace the existing 1,691 square foot convenience store / auto service building at the current Fuel Depot that's currently on site. This is at the corner of Fairview and Encina. I'm going to go ahead and turn it over to Tracy Burnell, architect for BBP Architects.
as well as Aaron Carroll, project landscape architect. I'm available for any questions regarding processing or project history once the applicants make their presentation.
Hi, I'm Tracy Brunell, architect for the project. We actually have been through with the design for this through the board previously and received preliminary approval, but ran into some issues with the original development plan, which incorporated parking for the two adjacent parcels, and we're not able to find the parking agreement, and subsequently just we're not able to meet the parking requirements, so we had to come back and file a development plan to separate our parcel from the adjacent parcel and have our own development plan. Differences in the design are pretty minor. All we really did was reduce the size of the building a little bit so that we could get underneath the threshold to reduce the amount of parking required, because there was no parking on this site. So one of the modifications that's being requested is to allow us to use the parking at the fuel stations, and we also have a modification request for the parking space, the accessible parking space in the front setback. The letter states that we're requesting a modification for two parking spaces, which I don't think is correct. We originally had one up here, but there was only one now being requested.
I'm sorry to interrupt, but isn't there one there too? There's a handicap in that one.
Is that right?
No, that's correct, though. A previous iteration had two new parking spaces within the front yard setback, so this one only has one. So
yeah,
that is incorrect. Yeah,
but there is also a parking space here that is no longer there. And then we're also doing two spaces as a what's the term for that when you're using it on a different site?
Offsite.
We have two offsite spaces on another parcel around 500 feet. So the building is about 30 inches narrower in this direction, about 12 inches narrower in that direction. It's sited the same on these two lines here. Other than that, I don't think there's much that's changed. The tower is slightly lower.
I can talk about a few changes that were made from the last time.
Please.
On the landscape plan. Be at the back. The major change between this plan and the previously approved plan is this fence between us and break time will be coming down. Will be removed, and this was coordinated with the property owner next door, who is here today. And so we're going to have this continuous landscape look through here, rather than having a wood fence here. And we also provided some stepping stones for some connectivity between break time and the service station. Plant palette is basically, I'd call it clean and green with some flowering plants. The plant palette didn't really change much since last time.
All right. Thank you. Before we take comments from the board, though, we have a speaker slip from Dr. Ron Garber, BBM, I believe. Do I have that right? Okay, Ron. Anyway, so we have a speaker slip from him.
Ron, you can have a seat at the end there and turn the microphone on.
Hello, everyone. I'm the neighbor, so currently we are in a common development plan. I know John is in the process of of separating that, and that will clarify maybe the parking issue so that it doesn't come up in the future. I think that's probably a good idea. John, I've asked John to make some changes, which he has, and I appreciate that. He's opened up the corridor by moving the trash container to the other side, so we're not looking at the end of a, we can see the landscape and not just the end of a trash corridor. He's lowered the tower a little bit. And we suggested, and they agreed, that getting rid of that fence would just make a nice open park-like area there. Since nothing was happening, we didn't see anything happening. We've gone ahead and just re-landscaped our side. but yeah, I don't know, maybe, you know, if the fence gone, it could be incorporated or not. I'm not sure. And we were redoing irrigation for the drought situation, and so we landed up doing that at the same time. We don't really have any objections. John, I've talked to John several times asking him, and I think he's talked to you, about flipping the inside structure, which would move the entrance door from under the tower to the other side of the building. And I asked him to do that because he assured me that most of the people are doing their shopping from the... are just parking to get gas and then going in and doing their shopping, that they're not using a lot of other parking space. But we really have no way of knowing that because we're not in that business. Where the door is now, if people are going to come there and pick a parking place, they're going to park in our lot because the door is right on the corner next to our parking places. So we'd rather see the door on the other side of the lot where his one parking place is, so that at least if there's one person coming and they need one space, they park in his space and not over on our side. I think people park where it's most convenient. I've emailed John just yesterday, and he said he was talking to his architect again. We've talked about it 3 or 4 times. And he said he's just been busy with other projects, so I presume he's going to work on that. That might be my only request, that maybe I get some assurance that he would follow through on that. If you look at the inside plans, they can easily be flipped, a window for a door, without changing really pretty much anything on the inside. And the only other thing that I object to, just because this kind of thing that bothers me, is there's several references in the plan, or there's references in the landscape part of the plans to the existing pygmy date palms that are out front in terms of being trees. First of all, they're pygmy date palms, Phoenix robellini. They're only about 5-6 feet tall. They're not really trees and should not be addressed as trees or be used where a tree is required. And I do object to the word existing, because the only reason they're there is because they were planted about a year and a half ago when the city tree was cut down. And it was a... Gihara parvifolia, Australian willow, the big old 70-year-old tree, and now there is essentially a bush there. And if you guys want to do that, that's fine, but in terms of the city maintaining the urban forest, it seems that when a big city tree is removed, maybe at some point it should be replaced with something of like matter. Also, there's a reference to the two queen palms on the other side of the property as existing trees, and those were also only put in a couple of years ago. So I have nothing against palms. I'm a palm collector. I like palms. But I think if you look at that area and the type of trees that are on Fairview, there's no palms. There's palms back on the landscape, but there's more larger landscape trees, such as the Gihara parvifolia.
Thank you. Any questions from the board? Especially looking for stuff on the landscaping side.
I don't have any questions. I looked it over and it looks good to me.
Mm-hmm. On the tower where you see the fuel depot sign, is it possible to have that recessed into the tower rather than to have it extruding somehow out of the tower? I'm not sure how you plan to light that, but I think that might be a nice touch. I'm not sure if we look at the signs as part of this project or that comes back at some later point.
I think the signs would be coming back at a later point.
Signs would be a separate application.
Okay. Just as a comment for your... Mm-hmm. For me, this is a little bit confusing. I don't feel as fully informed on this because it really hasn't gone through the latest process with the Planning Commission. Clearly, to me, it looks like parking is an issue here and hopefully will be clarified at some point in the future by the Planning Commission. It would be good to know that outcome to address this project in a more fully informed way. The idea of, and this may be deviating a bit from what the DRB does and what's expected at the Planning Commission, but I'm just, you know, the idea of parking spaces counting at a fueling station, at the same time it seems like there's going to be an intensification of use. I recognize they're probably both allowed in the zoning, but I think you'd probably concur that more people will be buying food and drink and getting their oil changed. Let me just then, the parts that are listed as not part of the project on our drawings may be areas that actually provide necessary parking for a neighborhood convenience store, in which case that could affect the kind of landscaping that might be applicable. Then I just wanted to address the eastern elevation, the removal of the fence. I think that's a really good improvement. Kind of back there, it's a little bit stark, a little bit ominous even back there. I'm not sure what kind of lighting that you're now planning to put back there that could help enhance that. And also the fact that it's now visible from the tenants who are now living in the back, working in the back there. I just wonder if you could do any kind of articulation in the stucco on east elevation, as minimal as necessary, just to keep it from just being a largely a blank wall that these people might be looking at. I think those are my questions and comments, actually. Thank you.
I guess one question, because of Ron Garber's comments, what would you have to say about the flipping that he's talking about? It seems like that would require the tower element to also flip, because it's so, it seems like it's a fairly significant element and denotes an entry.
Yeah, my understanding, I mean, this came up pretty recently, and obviously we're, that's not what's being presented here, but is that the tower would not move, that would become a kind of a set of display windows, and that we would do something with an awning or try to do something to denote the entry in at one of the other locations. From a floor plan standpoint, you can see that first window is the one that relatively easily shifts, but you know, that's not what's being presented here, so I don't know that we should.
Well, it was just a question. I'm just curious if you had it was all fairly recent, but I wanted to see if you did actually take that under advisement and kind of looked into it.
No.
Okay.
Not in any detail like what you're asking to really solve it.
All right. I don't think I have any other comments or questions. I don't know anybody else. Oh, I know, I did have one question. And I'm a little curious about this myself. Have you seen any traffic or demographic studies on use of the convenience store part vis-a-vis getting fuel? All I know is my own personal experience. I know the only time I go to a Quick Mart that's part of a gas station to get, you know, to use the store is walking to the one that's just down the street from where I work. As opposed to, usually if I'm driving and I get something from a store like that, usually it's when I stop in to get gas. But I don't know if that's common, or have you seen any studies about that?
Actually, yeah, I think that there's been a fair amount of back and forth about that and looking at things that have been approved in other places and work with the traffic engineer. Unfortunately, I don't know the specifics. I don't know, Michael, if you're familiar with what has been submitted in terms of traffic study, but I know that argument has been made, that is the way they're used, and it's the way it's done in other places, but it's not specifically allowed here, so that's why the modification is being asked for.
That discussion regarding traffic and traffic study will probably be more looked at during the Planning Commission stage.
If there's no other questions from the board, I guess I would look for comments on what they feel about this job and forward, because these folks are looking for, we're here for conceptual review.
Okay, well, I hope you can find a reasonable solution to the parking so that it's going to work, and that the landscaping associated with however that parking is structured is appropriate. I guess we'll see that later on at that point in time. Anything that you can do on the east elevation, I think, would be appreciated, especially by the neighbors back there. And then also, I guess, on the south elevation, is there any issue with cars maybe running up into the side of the building or anything like that, like bumpers or buffering? As cars maneuver through the parking lot. But I think this is moving towards something that is approvable.
Yeah. I remember that came up the last time we saw this, like maybe some bollards or something on that side. I would echo with Bill about the east elevation, if there was something you could do. Now that it's made, there's the landscaping and it's now open, if you could possibly look at that, something that could be done with that elevation. Otherwise, I kind of like it the way it is, to tell you the truth.
I have no comments. I concur.
Okay. Yeah, these are just comments that we take forward to Planning Commission, right?
Okay. May I ask the staff? Staff, thank you. Will any of these comments from the Design Review Board be part of the Planning Commission's packet of materials for their...
Yes, all these comments from the minutes will be given to the Planning Commission as part of the staff report.
Mr. Chair, so similar to the last project, you're providing comments, but just as a note, there will be environmental review on this project, so some of the traffic and parking analysis will be done. And once that gets all worked out through the Planning Commission, the project will come back to the DRB.
As part of a discretionary, post-discretionary LUP, I mean, for design review, rather.
All right, thank you. So I think that concludes this item.
Okay, thank you.
Okay, and that leaves us with item I, announcement by members. Are the absent members coming back in? Do we know? Okay, are there any announcements by members? Okay, so this
Merry
is...
Christmas. Yeah, yes, happy holidays to everybody.
And a happy new year to the rest of Goleta. This is the end of our last meeting for 2015, and we'll see you all in 2016. Thank you. We are adjourned.
Fall in love. Yes, listen, fall in love.